Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, I give you a real-world review of the Ego Power Plus Select Cut LM2156 SP Electric Lawnmower. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today I have Darren McKay. I thought we might take this extra in a slightly different direction. We're going to move away from computer tech into more of the other tech stuff that we like to talk about.
Well, we do like to talk about lots of different types of technology, so I'm game.
As the intro discussed, I want to talk about my new Ego electric battery-operated lawnmower.
Oh, I see. That's why that's over here. Okay.
Again, this is radio, but I have my electric mower right next to where we record. And truth be told, I've had this 3 months now.
Well, that's a pretty good amount of time, and it is nice and long into the lawn mowing season.
Oh, yeah. And I mow every week, although with this mower, I almost have to mow twice, which we can get to talking about. But I thought it might be kind of fun to review this mower. So when I was buying this mower, you know, I was concerned. I was, you know, I'm a traditional lawn mowing kind of person. I grew up with gas mowers.
Of course.
And my neighbors would have electric mowers because in the 50s and stuff, that was like the thing. Everything was electric.
So there were those little pushy mower things that look sort of like blenders.
Yeah. And they had a long power cord that just plug into your house, and that's how you mowed your lawn. And they were relatively small, but they were always tucked back in the back corner of the shed, collecting dust and never been touched, probably only used a couple of times, and they decided it sucked. So that kind of tells you a lot about how electric devices for yard care have come and gone, and some of them have stuck around and some of them have not.
Well, now, I'm aware that electric, especially battery-powered yard stuff, I mean, that's a huge business. And in fact, I've looked at maybe not this exact mower, but more similar to this, when we bought our new house. We have, like most folks, an aging gas mower that, you know, runs great, but sometimes takes a little bit of love to get it started.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you don't keep up on the maintenance, then it's going to get worse.
Yeah, and over time, I think they all kind of get a little bit older because we don't tune them, at least normal folks do. I mean, occasionally you'll change a spark plug, but I mean, what else do you do?
Well, and with gas, I mean, we have to think about the gas situation. So a lot of the gas around here has ethanol in it to help.
Oh, good point.
Blend it. Well, that ethanol attracts water, and then it basically will just kind of create this white rust. And it causes rubber lines to get really hard after a while. And after 5-10 years of running that gas through your mower, regardless of how much you get out of it, it's going to actually just gum up the carburetor to the point where it's not going to run. And that's what I had to do with my gas mower, replace the carburetor. But then tuning it after that is less than ideal because they don't want you tuning them. You just plug them in and then that's how it's supposed to run. You don't get a bunch of little dials and knobs and stuff like that. So they've made it to the point where it is more economical to take your lawn equipment, throw it in the dumpster, and go buy something new.
Like so many things these days.
Yeah, it's really, really sad. So what I thought would be kind of fun though, since I've had this Ego mower, and if you look online, the Ego line of mowers and trimmers and stuff, it's like the highest rated anything across the globe.
Well, yeah, and they run professional line stuff too. In fact, I bought very recently a very highly rated Ego string trimmer for that very reason. Carbon fiber frame, all kinds of technology. It's a little heavy, like all of these semi-commercial grade products seem to be, but I love it.
Well, that's good. So what I thought we could do is I'm going to set the stage. So, you know, we have the haters and we have the fanboys. And
always.
So, you know, not to call out people, but, you know, if you have somebody that drives an electric car like a Tesla, they only have good things to say about the Tesla.
Right.
You know, because they own it. They've also spent the money, so they have an invested interest to actually enjoy it.
Sure.
Some people are not like that. They don't necessarily want to have that expense, or they don't want to deal with the whole electric thing, or they're not really into the, you know, you have the haters and you have the people that are fanboys on it.
Sure.
So I would like Darren here to be the litmus for anything that I say
Okay.
about my mower. I want him to come out and say, no, that sounds a bit too fanboyish, or no, you're being a bit of a hater. At which point I'll try to rephrase it so that it doesn't.
So much pressure.
I know, right?
Well, it does look fancy, and it has some cool lights and controls on it.
Like I said, I've had this for about 3 months, and I use it once a week. And for the most part, I like it. I will say that I like using the mower, partially because when I first got it out and I was plugging around the yard, it cut extremely well. About 3 weeks later, it stopped cutting so well. And I found out that the blades dulled extremely fast to the point where they just seem to have a really bad temper. they're not angry. It's just that they don't hold an edge very well. So the blades on them are actually pretty bad. But that is not necessarily what I had an issue with. The issue was with the usability of the device. And this is something that nobody talks about in any online video review or whatnot. I bought the self-propelled one. And the way the self-propel works is you have a dial at the top of the handle and you roll it forward to go faster and you roll it back to go slower. And then you have these two buttons on the handle that you press and that engages the power drive and it will pull the mower around the yard.
And I'm assuming, like most, it will only work when you're holding the buttons down?
Only when you're holding the buttons down. And the thing that I hate, though, is that when I press the button, it seems like an eternity before the power drive engages. And it doesn't matter how fast I have the dial set. When I press the button, it literally takes like what would seem like 5 seconds for it to start engaging.
Well, that's sort of counter to what you would expect for electronic stuff. I mean, that's the appeal, right?
Instant on. Now, when I had my gas mower, it had what they called the selected drive. So when you push on it, the handles push in, and the more you push the handles in, the faster the mower goes.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what mine does too. It has a little handle, and you pull it, and if you pull it all the way back, you're off and running.
I was really expecting more of a selected drive thing. Now, I tried to rationalize this in my head, thinking, okay, well, why do we have this sort of an input lag? Well, maybe the audience that they're expecting to have this mower doesn't want to have an instant on sort of situation where you press the button and the mower gets away from them.
Oh, okay.
And
fair.
Runs off.
That's fair.
So, you know, we have like an all ages sort of situation going on here. Or it could be that the sample set that they've come up with was not in a hurry when they were mowing their yard. So like when I'm mowing, for instance, I want to keep a constant pace. So I go one edge of my yard and then I spin around and then want to go the other edge. So when I get to the very end, I let off on the power drive, spin the mower around, I press the power drive to get going, and I'm sitting there and I feel like I'm just waiting. And then all of a sudden it engages and then I go. It takes so long to the point where I'm just started pushing the mower. The thing is light enough that I could just push it down the yard. And by the time the power drive engages, I'm going faster than the power drive. So it just disables it completely.
Oh, hold on. So it doesn't like sync to how fast you're going?
No. It has one speed, and if you exceed that speed, it turns off.
I guess it figures you don't need it anymore?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is there some regenerative braking involved?
I wish, but that would probably take a lot of too much effort, really. That's like one of my biggest gripes is like the usability of it. And I'm thinking that it really came down to like a safety thing, right? But all they would have to do is maybe adapt a selected drive sort of system.
Instead of the silly dial.
Yeah, instead of the silly, stupid dial. And it's like, this is the annoying thing, right? I'm mowing the yard. When I first start mowing, I have it's usually 2 clicks back from full speed. That's my select for my power drive.
Sure. That's your pace?
By the time it gets on one bar of power, I have it all the way forward and it's still going too slow.
So how long does that usually take?
Well, what happens is that the juice in the battery has gotten so low that the power drive is now not getting the same amount of power that it requires to run the mower itself. So it's slowing the mower down.
So I think we should stop for a second and talk about time because no one's seen your yard. You can't look at it through the podcast. Sorry, guys. But I mean, would you say you have a large yard?
I have not a large yard. It is slightly bigger than a quarter of an acre.
And about how much grass would you say?
I don't know. I know I could pace it off to see how much square footage of grass I have, but in my gas mower days,
right,
I could get all of the grass mowed, collected. Well, no, actually not even collected. It would be a mulch or a side discharge, so I'm not stopping. And it would take me 45 minutes to do the entire yard.
That sounds pretty reasonable. And that's pretty close to what I do on mine, I guess. So maybe we're a little on the larger side, but that's pretty normal.
Yeah, and I would think so. It's not a small yard, but it's not a big yard either. And when I got the Ego mower, it claims that the battery lasts an hour.
That should cover it?
It should. But so far, I have yet to mow the entire yard without having to stop and charge the battery.
That sounds like a problem. How fast does it charge?
It takes about an hour for it to charge. So, and now, and then what could have spent an hour mowing my yard is now moved into 3 hours to mow my yard.
Well, that's okay. I mean, they've built in a beer break or something, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming. I mean, there's the, well, if I'm pushing the mower around the yard and because the power drive doesn't engage, then I'm getting my workout in that regard.
That
right?
makes sense.
Which is,
and that extends the battery life. It's a double win.
Actually, no, because here's the other thing, right? That 1 hour that they advertise is under certain conditions that are, for the most part, unpublished, or I can't find them published anywhere.
Well, that kind of makes sense, right? They want perfection, so, you know, downhill both ways and all that.
Yeah, and maybe not even mowing the grass.
Oh, no.
So my grass, within a week, it will grow about an inch and a half. So I'm generally cutting between an inch and a half of grass every time that I'm mowing the yard. And with the blade being slightly dull, that puts a little bit more stress on the motor. And to compensate, the Ego system will go and spin the motor faster. And as we know, faster spinning motors consume more power.
Yes.
And that is primarily why I cannot get an entire hour's worth of battery time out of my yard.
Well, wouldn't you just buy a second battery so that you can swap it out?
You know, rich people would.
Oh, no.
I looked into the battery, and they're like $500.
Seriously?
Yeah, and that's just for the mid-range battery that I have. Now, I can buy a 10-mAh battery that should get me like an hour and a half, according to Ego time. It might get me enough time to actually mow the entire yard. But since it's not a guarantee, I don't want to spend $600 on a battery. And if I buy a second line of what I have, really all that gets me is that I come in here, I swap the battery, put that one back on the charger, finish my yard, and then I have still half a battery left. So, you know, at that point, you're supposed to get the trimmer and the edger and go and use that extra time to finish your yard, right?
But they don't use the same battery because my trimmer uses a battery that looks like yours, but it's nowhere near the same power.
Yeah, I think it's just the smaller version, like the 3.6 or something like that. They have different tiers. And that's that brings up a good point. It's like you think about Toyo, for instance, right?
Sure.
They're a well-known lawn maintenance sort of company. That's what they make. Well, you look at Ego and you see the lawn equipment, but really I don't see Ego as being a lawn equipment company. They are a battery company trying to find a way to sell their batteries. So they made lawn equipment, which is why we have the different scales of batteries, and we have trimmers, we have riding lawn mowers with multiple battery packs, we have mowers and stuff, and we have, you know, plastic mowers, and then we have the industrial ones that have the metal deck and stuff like that. So they have all these different scales, but there's enough design problems with this one that I bought, at least in my mind, that makes me think that they are just trying to make the coolest mower around to get the reviews up to sell more batteries.
Sure, and it is a cool looking, well, you know, green and black and kind of sleek and sports car-y looking, which appeals to me, although
it's robotic looking.
It has plastic wheels, which is sort of odd.
But well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
It has plastic wheels. And it has larger wheels in the back, which is supposed to be good for mowing the lawn and even in and out bumps and stuff like that. I talked about being able to push the mower. It's extremely light. It rolls extremely well. It's also sounds like a Power Wheels when I'm bouncing down the lawn.
Well, that would explain the plastic wheels, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and the reason it sounds like that is because the deck is plastic. So it has a rather thick decking surface. It's about I don't know, 3/4 of an inch, basically plastic and air gap. And then, you know, it's a molded piece of plastic, just like a Power Wheels, with enough strength in there that it's supposed to block rocks and whatever you might happen to run over. But, you know, it's an electric mower. You're not supposed to run over that stuff, right?
Well, yeah. And in theory, it'll last forever because it won't rust, right? That's a plus.
How many lawnmowers have you had have stopped working because the deck rusted?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. You can run a pretty jaunty mower if the engine's in good shape.
Yeah. Well, and the one reason I see this as being like an aluminum plastic sort of situation is to make the machine lighter so that it uses less electrical energy to extend the life of that battery, make it actually run a little bit longer.
Totally makes sense.
But the offset of it is that it bounces around the yard. You always have a yard that has ruts in it. If you have a lot of moisture, you're going to have worms bouncing around in there and stuff. And it's like the grass dries out a little bit and it bounce. And that doesn't necessarily upset the cut, but it upsets the person using the mower enough that it's like, it's bouncing around. This is really annoying. Where with my gas mower that was considerably heavier, it just glided across that stuff. It didn't really care.
All right, Dennis, you've significantly piqued my interest. Let's pause. I want to run this thing.
All right, then. All right, so we did this off microphone because it sounds like a jet. Or actually a really big fan. It's not loud like a gas engine. It doesn't make any, you know, strange smells and stuff, but we had to be outside of the garage for Darren here to use my mower.
So I mowed a few strips to see if I had any interesting first impressions. And I do want to address the sound because to me, it sounded like when you have a box fan on high.
Oh yeah. Well, we have one of those in the corner actually.
Yeah. So I think that's a fair assumption. It's not loud at all, especially since I'm used to a mower. Mm-hmm. And my first impression is it seems really narrow. And we had this discussion off camera, but I want to revisit because I really thought that it was much more long and narrow than a standard lawnmower. And that's not right.
No, because if we compare this with my gas mower that I have tucked over in the corner, the length of the two devices, identical. And it would seem that the handle is lower or something like that, but the handle is actually in the same position. The difference is the fact that the machine itself is very, very square. So there's nothing to pull your eye in to make it look like it needs to be narrow in certain spots.
And it's pretty wedgy, honestly, wedge-shaped, which kind of appeals to me from a looking at it showroom floor, I guess.
It's aerodynamic.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it does.
And I think I already mentioned the color scheme is attractive and interesting.
Yeah. So when you were doing your overlaps, though, did you use the power drive?
I did, sort of, yeah.
And did you feel any sort of a lag when you were spinning around?
Well, a little bit. I have to agree, the dial is ludicrous.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's
because your natural position, and if you look at pictures of this thing, we should post one, I think, is you put your hands on either side and you have to push down the thing and then you have to pull the engaged lever to get the blades to spin. And so you have to, if you're going to adjust the speed at all, you have to take one hand off and turn this little dial, which I think the idea is that it would be sort of like a motorcycle.
It would be easier if you just twisted it like a motorcycle and you went.
So
that would make more sense to me.
After the first pass, I just left it on max. Of course, I was not cutting 2 inches of grass. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of let it pull me right after I dropped it down. So okay. I didn't ever disengage the power. I just lifted up the front wheels and let them spin. Which,
it's the back wheels.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean, but let it pull me around. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, but I can see where that would get a little bit old.
Yeah, well, and I have, truth be told, I have figured out that I could leave one hand on the drive and then spin the mower around without having the other hand on it and just spin it, kind of like you're, you know, going to spin a pole.
Yeah.
And the mower will pull itself around to the point where you can spin it and then start going without having to let off on that. But then at that point, I'm spinning the mower in my hand, so I would need to wear gloves. Otherwise, I'm going to get blisters. But that's one way that I can keep a constant pace without, you know, taking my hand off of the power drive. But that's not safe, really, in any regard.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say the obvious solution is to put something around that will hold the button down. So you don't have to worry about holding the button down, and then you can put your hands on the little dial thing and pull the little lever thing like you're supposed to. And we've all done that sort of stuff with devices to, you know, get around the hold the button down to start it type of stuff. But it's not safe, and it's clearly an odd design choice.
Yeah, it's the way I saw it, the power drive was an afterthought. They designed the mower to, well, they designed the mower for a lot of things, and we can go into that. But from the power drive's perspective, I saw it as like, they have a mower, or they had a mower, that was not power drive. You would push it. It was light enough you could push around your yard. But enough people said, hey, we want to have it pull us around.
Well, yeah, because not everybody's level, and not everybody's small in their yard, so power drive makes sense.
So they have their R&D look into doing a power drive, but then for some reason they say, well, we can't figure out how to do a selective drive, so we're just going to do this because it's easy, or, you know, something like that. Or maybe there was really like some catastrophic problem during their testing and they couldn't do the selective drive because the mower just got away from them, or somebody couldn't figure out how to use it. And, you know, it just seems like that is a major misstep in the ergonomics department.
Well, having mown the lawn, you know, I got kind of around that, although, you know, 2-3 strips isn't really enough to get a firm thing. But I did also notice that it was difficult for me to tell what was mowed and what wasn't mowed, because the design of the deck and the wheels makes it a little bit difficult to see, I guess, how much of the lawn is being cut.
Yeah. So one thing that, well, to that point, every review that I've seen for this mower has never showed the bottom, aside from saying, hey, it's got the X-style blades, which means it's got two blades in it.
Yeah, that's a mulching blade, I think, right?
So here, let me flip the mower over, and we'll show you the bottom.
Okay.
So if you look here, we have the area where the blades spin. This is the cutting area. Now, if you go to the edge of the deck to the space where the blades end, we have about an inch of space.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't even go, well, very close to the edge.
And it doesn't overlap with the wheels. It's slightly inset of the wheels.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we have a good inch and a half-ish of space that doesn't get cut and gets hit with the mowing wheels as you're mowing your yard. So if you go, you know, like with a gas mower, for instance, the wheels were always inset. So
yeah,
the wheels would be part of what the grass would be cut.
Well, so I've never seen a design where the wheels didn't, well, I guess the cutting deck didn't go beyond the wheels. Let's put it that way.
Right. And in this case, it's like the wheels are on the outside of the deck. So you have to do a certain amount of overlap to be able to ensure that you can mow all the grass. Well, and the one thing that I found is that as, you know, again, my grass is slightly taller than I think what Eagle wants it to be, the grass gets laid over. Well, it's not going to get picked up to be cut. So I have my overlap so I can cut over top of where the wheels are, but the grass never comes back up. So in a couple of days, I have these little mohawks running up and down my yard.
Nice.
Of all the grass that, of course, didn't get cut.
Well, shouldn't the spinning of the blade be enough to pull the grass up, or is that you know, a problem with the speed?
I think it's an issue with the speed. You know, a gas mower runs at just one speed. You know, whatever the RPM of the engine is. It's usually like 3,000 RPM or something like that. According to Ego, this has the same torque as a gas mower. Well, I think that's when it's running at full tilt.
Okay.
When it's actually just kind of spinning, it doesn't feel like it's really spinning at 3,000 RPM. Maybe it is. I got to put a tachometer on there and stuff. But the default design of the blades is you have the mulching blade, which doesn't have a lot of lift. The idea is that the grass gets up and it stays within the blades so that it gets chopped up and then goes back into the grass. I swapped out to the high lift blade, which is the one you're supposed to use when you are bagging or side discharging the grass. And that gives it a lot more lift to pull the grass up. It doesn't work well for mulching, and it generally takes a little bit more effort to get it to spin. I find that the motor itself will spin up faster when I'm running that blade just in general.
Okay, well, it might be a lighter design or something. That's a little interesting.
Yeah.
But you already had to buy an extra blade right out of the box.
Believe it or not, Ego includes two sets of blades.
Oh, well, that's nice, though.
So it comes with the mulching blade and the X blade attached, and then you get the high lift blade that you can attach to the second blade so you can get the X's. And then they also have an extended runtime blade, which is kind of a flat just a flat blade, doesn't have any profile on it, with not a lot of material in there. So it has a much lower spinning weight.
Okay, I guess I can see where that's going.
The idea is that it doesn't have as much weight spinning, so it should make the battery last longer.
Sure, and that's where I was just beginning to realize that the weight of the blade has to have an effect on the power. And by transverse, as the battery gets lower, the blade speed is probably less dependable.
Yes, and, you know, power drive slowdown and stuff like that. But the in terms of that, I mean, that's just normal battery mechanics, right? You know, that gets low on charge and it's not going to be able to maintain what it did before. The voltage regulation just gets messed up. Some of the other ergonomics of the mower, it has a side discharge.
Yeah.
Which I need to show it to you. You will not believe it.
All right, let's pause.
I'm just going to move it. I put it in the bag. Here is the side discharge.
So it's just a little plastic chute that you, I'm guessing, snap in somewhere?
Yeah, so the the way that the grass discharges from the mower, it comes out the back. And traditionally, with a gas mower, when you are collecting grass, it collects in the back. That is, you know, between you and the mower. That's where the grass goes. That's where the bag is. You know, some of the older mowers had the side discharge bag, which were really small and stuff like that. You remember those.
Right.
Well, to do a side discharge on this particular mower, they include this little chute that attaches to the back and narrows down the outlet, which is where the grass comes out, even more as it's turning, and just kind of tries to exit it out the side.
All right, so yeah, it redirects it kind of to the one side there.
Yeah, so as a lawn care person, when would you use a side discharge?
You know, when you don't want a mulch, for one, right?
Right. Or when the grass is too tall to collect or too tall to mulch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you would want to use a side discharge in that case where it's like, I'm just wanting to get it mowed and I will pick up the grass later, sort of thing.
Sure. You're going to rake it up or whatever. Yeah.
So you have a high volume of grass. Well, what I found is that when I use the side discharge, regardless of what blade I have, I can get maybe 10 feet before it plugs. And then it just doesn't work anymore.
Oh, wow. That's
There's too much of a restriction with that turn off the side to try and actually exit it out the side. And on top of that, there's not enough airflow or oomph to throw the grass away. Because like in my gas mower, it has a side discharge on the side of the mower itself. And it has enough power that it will push it over three lanes of what I've already mowed and actually spread the grass out and make it nice and it'll blend in and actually regurgitate into the lawn.
Right.
Well, this makes these little, what I call coke trails of grass as I'm going along. And I'm almost stepping in them as I'm going. And it's like, well, I could just lift up the back, you know, put a stick under there or something like that and just have the grass come down and hit me in the feet. And it's exactly the same as what that little side discharge was.
Again, maybe an afterthought there.
Yeah, side discharge is an afterthought. I would say grass collection as an afterthought because the bag in these things is just, you know, it's a, it's not a, a forceful sort of collection bag where, you know, you have... You know, in traditional gas mowers, the bag was treated a lot like a vacuum cleaner. So you have enough airflow through there that you would feel the air coming out of the bag and it just throws the grass in the back. This is more like one of those old-timey spinny blade mowers,
right?
The scissor style, where it just kind of flops the grass up and it lands in a tray. Well, that's the way that this bag is just a little tray to collect the grass. It doesn't have much oomph behind it. It just makes big piles. And the bag's not very big because it can't accommodate that much grass. You can't throw it back far enough to be able to put a lot in that bag.
Well, that's going to add weight too. So I can see, again, we're trading power for weight, essentially.
Yeah. So ultimately, I see this as being a really great mulching lawnmower, provided that, you know, the grass isn't any more than a half an inch tall. Which, you know, that means that you have to mow like every 3 days. And that's not, you know, for a busy person like me, that's not good.
That's really frequent, actually.
Yeah.
So overall?
Overall, I would say it's a great mower. Does it deserve 5 stars across the board everywhere you go? No. Does it deserve the YouTube videos that say, hey, I have an electric house and my Tesla is charging in the background and playing music while I'm mowing with my Ego mower up and down with my power drive? It is awesome. It's like, yeah, you're a fanboy. Thanks a lot. You're not an actual person mowing your yard.
Well, it feels like maybe it's still in a bit of an early adapter phase, because I can certainly see more batteries would give you more power, but then you have more weight and all the hassles that come with bigger batteries also.
Yeah. It's like, you know, in terms of a world that we live in, right? We're in a transition phase. We're trying to move from our dependence on gasoline to more economical solutions. And that's really electric. You know, back in the 50s and 60s when gas was really expensive. Well, actually, no, I guess that was in the 70s and 80s. But either way, it gas has always been a problem. So you would have these electric things being injected. And some of them were cables that you had to plug into your house, and they worked pretty well. You can buy battery operated mowers for the past 15 years, but they weren't any better than this. And they were using really small batteries. So if you had a really small lawn, they worked great. But if you had anything bigger, then it wasn't practical. But then, you know, certain devices like edgers and trimmers, they work great as electric devices, primarily because you don't use them that much.
Well, and yeah, and they're small by default. The motor doesn't have to run a lot of juice.
No. And, you know, electric mowers, I can applaud what Ego has done. But again, they're a battery manufacturer trying to make yard equipment or trying to build a way to sell batteries. They need to hire somebody that actually knows how to make yard equipment. That combination would be perfect. And if it takes a little bit more power to run a selected drive or to have the motor, have it so you could program the motor to spin the way you expect it to spin, then so be it. Give me, the consumer, a way to go and flip a switch saying, I'm going to turn this into gas-style mower.
It needs an overclock button.
Yes. Oh, my God. Why didn't I think of that? Overclockmyegomower.com. Oh, I hope that's not taken.
It could happen.
So either way, I mean, yes, I like the mower, but it has got a lot of problems that really are not, they're not exposed to enough people.
Well, it sounds like despite the lifetime of these mowers, it's still a bit of an emerging technology. Mm-hmm. I know I've been considering them and still kind of feel like it's new, so I'm not the only one, it sounds like.
Yep.
So would you buy it again? Is it going back? I mean, where do we end up with this thing?
Oh, yeah. So what did I decide, right? Because, you know, you get 30 days to evaluate it, and you can usually take it back to where you bought it and say, this thing sucks. Well, I decided that for the cost of what I paid for this mower, I could take it back and buy a gas mower and probably use it for a good 5 years. If I can get 5 years out of this electric mower, you know, sharpening the blades every once in a while, without having to replace the battery, I'm going to call it money well spent. It's still a good mower. It's a bit annoying, but there's things that I can work around. It's not like I can't use this. It's just more or less annoying. So am I going to buy another one? Probably not. Will I use it if Ego sends me one? Probably. But it's not going to be high on my list, unlike what Consumer Reports says about, you know, buy this mower or don't buy anything at all. So that's my 2 cents. For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes at hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2021. Thanks for listening.